Greetings, friends. Today we're going to discuss the biblical definition of death. Now, that might not be a pleasant subject, but overall, our topic has been that sin sucks life out of the soul, which equals death. So we need to define what death is. In previous programs, we defined what life is and what sin is. So now we're going to describe what death is. But just by way of review, in order to understand what death is, let's go back and review the biblical definition of life, because then we'll clearly understand the opposite of life, which is death. So to review, God created mankind by forming him from the dust of the earth, that's number one, and then breathing life into his nostrils. At this point, man became a living soul. We can find that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Here it says that Yahweh formed man of the dust of the ground. So he took dust and then formed us in his likeness and in his image. So we have a head, we have arms and hands and a torso, and then legs and feet, of course. So we have been formed into this image of God, this likeness of God. That's the first thing, and that's out of the dust of the ground. Then the second thing is God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and mankind became a living soul. So we see those two things. We are formed of the dust of the ground, number one, and number two, we are filled with the breath of life. These two things make us a living soul. Obviously, then, death will reverse these two things. And you'll notice this in the next few scriptures we're going to read. Let's please now drop down to verses 16 through 17 in Genesis chapter 2. This is verses 16 and 17 in Genesis chapter 2. Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, "You may freely eat of every tree in the garden, except you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." But what happened? Adam and Eve disobeyed God, which means they sinned. In the day that they ate the fruit, what did God hand down as the sentence for their crime? Genesis chapter 3, verse 19 has the answer. "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." This is this first step in reversing life, and leads to death. It is mankind disintegrating into dust. We lose our form. So our bodies lose our form as we disintegrate into dust. Life is God taking dust and forming it. Now death is our bodies losing this form as we disintegrate back into dust. So the second part that defines what life is that God breathes into us the breath of life. Death would then be our bodies losing this breath of life with no more breath coming in. And we can see this in Psalms, the book of Psalms, and this is chapter 146 and verses 2 through 4. Psalms chapter 146 verses 2 through 4. This is how David describes it under the inspiration of God. "While I live," David is saying, while I live, "I will praise Yahweh. I will sing praises to my God while I have any life. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no salvation. Because with these people, they're going to die. His breath goes forth." That's the process of death. His breath goes forth. And David also adds this second part that we have previously seen. He returns to the earth. So again, we talked about in Genesis two things that define life: us being formed of the dust of the earth and us receiving the breath of life. We saw the first thing that God says, that we're going to return to the earth. But also we see here that as David describes death, he says that his breath goes forth. But now David also adds a third part under the inspiration of God that helps us to define death. He also says, "In that very day," in the day of death, "a person's thoughts perish." Now we didn't see that in Genesis as a definition of life, but we see it here in Psalm 146 that it's a definition of death. So are we going to see somewhere else that when a person has thoughts, that that constitutes life? Yes, we will. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 7 through 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 14. Now Paul, speaking under the inspiration of God, says that when we have thoughts, we have the spirit of man within us. That's how he categorizes us having thoughts, is we have the spirit of man within us. So again, death is going to be when our bodies lose their thoughts and are not active anywhere else, by the way. But the reverse of that is that life means that we do have thoughts, or we have the spirit of man within us. Let's read what Paul says. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which God has hidden, predetermining it before the world for our glory. There's a lot of things that God has hidden from people, which he only reveals to his children. Paul goes on to say, none of the rulers of this world knew these hidden mysteries of God, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So what Paul is saying here, and what I really want you to catch, is that God is saying that there are certain things hidden from mankind that naturally we cannot know of and by ourselves. It takes the Spirit of God to understand the things of God. Now Paul is using this to also tell us the truth that mankind cannot even know the things of man except we have the Spirit of man within us. So the Spirit of man helps us to understand and allows us to understand the things of man. So you take a lion, for instance. A lion doesn't understand the things of man. A vulture doesn't understand the things of man. And a salmon doesn't understand the things of man. Only a man understands the things of man, because we have the spirit of man within us. God has created something that has made us uniquely human. This is what Paul says. This is how he describes it. For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of man within him? So also, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But we have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit from God, his Holy Spirit, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither indeed can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 2 points here. The natural man cannot understand the things of God unless he has the Spirit of God in him. In like manner, the natural man cannot understand the things of man unless he has the Spirit of man within him. Because lions don't have the Spirit of man in them, they cannot understand a man. Because a vulture does not have the Spirit of man within him, he cannot understand the things of man. Because a shark or a salmon does not have the spirit of man within him, it cannot understand the things of man. So this is a third component that we see that defines human life. We have the spirit of man within us. And when we lose the spirit of man, which is our consciousness, our thoughts, then that constitutes death. And we're going to go on to prove this even further. So please, let's turn over to Job chapter 32, and we'll read verses 7 through 8. This is the book of Job, chapter 32, and verses 7 through 8. Here, Elihu is speaking to Job, and this is after the other three friends of Job had finished speaking. Now, Elihu is speaking to Job, and he says, "You know what, Job? Days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom." In other words, if you've lived many days, these days should speak to us of the experiences that we've learned. We should have wisdom because we've lived a long time. And the multitude of years should teach us wisdom. So not only should we know a lot, not only should we understand the things that we know, but we should have the wisdom to follow that which is right and to avoid that which is wrong. That's what he's saying. And he goes on to say, "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding." In other words, this spirit of man, this is what God works through to help us to understand what God wants us to know about him. And this spirit of man, once it is joined with the spirit of God, that's how we can know the things of God. So God's spirit communicates with our spirit and becomes one with us, and I really should say that we become one with God, and that is how the inspiration of the Almighty can give us understanding. So this spirit in man, which is the spirit of man that Paul was speaking about, this gives us the ability to relate to God, whereas no other being on this earth, nothing of the flesh, can relate to God in the way that we can. Now, there are beings in heaven, like the angels, the 24 elders, the living creatures, the four living creatures. They can relate to God in a certain way, but even they cannot become the children of God. So we have been created in God's image, in his likeness, uniquely patterned after God. We are the creation, the specific, unique creation of God that is to be born again into the family of God. And when we are born again into the family of God, we shall have eternal life. And we shall be composed of spirit, just like Yahweh is composed of spirit, just like Yeshua is composed of spirit. We will be composed of spirit, and we will have eternal life. That, my friends, is a wonderful truth that Satan, of course, would like to take away from us. He would like to destroy us and to cause us to die. And that's why he leads us into sin, because he knows that sin leads to death. And as we have discussed, death is three things. First of all, in general, it's the opposite of life. But death specifically is when the breath of life leaves us. When our bodies disintegrate, they lose its form, and it goes back to the dust from which it was formed. And then third, when the spirit of man leaves us, when our thoughts perish, that's what death is. It is our enemy, as God says, but there is a way to conquer that enemy, and that is through obedience, faithful obedience to God.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.